Running Out of Time by Margaret Peterson Haddix. Read by Kimberly Schraff. 1. The light woke Jessie, though it was just a glimmer downstairs. She eased out of bed, being careful not to disturb her sister, Hannah.
Ma?
Jessie whispered by the ladder down from the loft. In a few moments, her mother's tired face appeared below, illuminated by a flickering candle. "It's the Bentons," she said. "Caleb says both Sally and Betsy are sick." Everybody called Jessie's mother the midwife, but she did a lot more than deliver babies. In Clifton, anyone who got sick at night called on her. Most people, Jessie thought, seemed to wait until dark to get sick, so they wouldn't have to go to Dr. Pfister. Dr. Pfister always gave prescriptions like, "Make a poultice of chokeberries and rub it on your neck 3 times a day." He made a real show of it. He used to slip a packet of pills under the table, too. Pills that really worked. Anymore, though, he just gave the folk remedy. Jessie hadn't seen any of the pills in a long time.
"Can I come and help?" Jessie asked Ma.
"I don't want you catching anything." Jessie gave her mother what Pa called that pitiful please look, and she relented. "All right, you can carry my bag. But I don't want you coming inside until I find out what Sally and Betsy have." Jessie pulled her dress off the nail by her bed and yanked it over her head. Then she scrambled down the ladder and took her boots from beside the door. She was ready by the time Ma finished dressing. Grown women had to worry about clothing more than 13-year-old girls did. That was one reason Jessie was glad she wasn't entirely grown up yet. Ma unlatched the door and they slipped out into the warm April night. "Hannah and the boys never even moved," Jessie said. Ma smiled. "They could sleep through a blizzard. You're my light sleeper. You're always afraid you might miss something." Jessie grinned. It did seem like an adventure being out in the middle of the night. The village looked spooky with only moonlight and the faint glow of Ma's lantern. Shadows flickered on the path and in the surrounding woods. The main buildings of Clifton loomed like hulking animals. Jessie shivered, passing the 3 trees in the square that everyone said were haunted.
"Did Caleb go on home?" Jessie asked.
Caleb Benton was 10, but he was the biggest chicken in Clifton School.
"I bet he was scared."
"His ma didn't want him to wait," Ma said. Jessie waited for Ma to say more, but she didn't. Usually, when Jessie convinced Ma to let her go along on these night trips, Ma and Jessie talked all the way. About the symptoms Ma knew and how she planned to treat them, or about Jessie's schoolwork, or about just anything. But tonight, Ma seemed barely aware that Jessie was with her. Ma stepped silently, her face shadowed. Jessie thought Ma might just be tired. This was the 4th night in a row she had been called out. Ma hadn't let Jessie go the other times. They passed the school, the general store, and Dr. Pfister's clapboard house. Jessie couldn't understand how the doctor could afford a clapboard house when no one went to him. Jessie's pa was the blacksmith, and he was always busy. Yet Jessie's family still lived in the log cabin they'd built back in 1828 when they first came to Clifton. Jessie had hinted more than once that they needed a new house now that there were 6 children. After all, she said, little Katie was soon going to outgrow the trundle bed that slipped under Ma and Pa's bed downstairs. Where was Katie going to sleep then? Pa always answered that a new house was too expensive, with the whole country in a depression. He didn't seem to mind. Hannah whispered that Pa liked the log cabin too much to build a house. Hannah was just a year older than Jessie, but she said she could remember when they built the cabin. All the men in the village helped lay the maple logs one on top of another, and then the women filled the cracks with mud. Jessie had seen other cabins built, had helped even,
and thought Hannah might just be confused. Even Hannah couldn't remember before, when they'd lived in Pennsylvania. Jessie wished she could remember the trip out to Indiana, when she and Hannah and Ma and Pa had traveled down the Ohio River in a flatboat. Sometimes she could get Pa to tell about it. Ma never would. "Be careful," Ma said as Jessie tripped over a root in the path. "It's hard to see," Jessie said. The moon was behind a cloud now. Ma nodded and moved the lantern closer to Jessie. They were almost to the Bentons' cabin. "Do you think Sally and Betsy will be all right?" Jessie asked. Sally was prissy, kind of like Hannah, but Betsy was always fun to play with.
"I hope so," Ma said,
in a way that made Jessie worry.
A lot of children were sick. Jefferson Webster, Susan Seward, Abby and James Harlow.
Jessie knew it wasn't just the usual spring chills and fevers. There were too many empty seats at school.
"Wait here," Ma said, pointing to a stump in front of the Bentons' cabin. She gave Jessie the lantern and knocked lightly on the door. It opened immediately. Jessie caught a glimpse of Mrs. Benton, crying. Mrs. Benton was a tall woman with rough hands. Jessie had never seen her cry. Jessie went to the Bentons' oil paper window, but she could see only shapes moving. The Ma shape seemed to be bent over the bed downstairs. They must have put Sally and Betsy in Mr. and Mrs. Benton's bed. That was serious. The Bentons and Ma talked in such low voices Jessie couldn't hear anything, and she'd get in trouble if they knew she was trying to listen. She sat down on the stump, placing the lantern on the ground in front of her. She should put it out to save the oil, but it was a comfort. Everyone said bears and wolves stayed away from fire. All sorts of rustling noises came from the woods beyond the Bentons' cabin. Normally, Jessie wasn't scared of wild animals. She was braver than anybody. She took more dangerous dares than the boys at school. But all this sickness and the way Ma was acting worried her. Jessie wished someone would explain what had happened to Dr. Pfister's pills. Even when he'd had them, people pretended they didn't exist. But they always worked. Why weren't there pills for Betsy, Sally, and the others? It was another mystery of Clifton, Jessie thought, like the haunted trees. Once, when Jessie was little, she'd noticed a box at the top of one of the haunted trees. It was painted the same color as the branches, but it held a piece of glass that sometimes glinted in the sunlight. The box moved constantly, even when there wasn't a breeze. Jessie had been so curious that she started climbing the tree. She'd only gotten her right leg up on a branch when Mr. Seward ran out of his store and ordered her down. At first, Jessie thought it was funny to see the big man run. But she didn't laugh long. Mr. Seward spanked her, hard, and then Pa spanked her when she got home. Both of them shushed her whenever she tried to say something about the box. After that, the box disappeared and was replaced by a piece of glass in one of the limbs. Jessie never told anyone she saw it, but she would have loved to look at it up close. The thing was, neither Mr. Seward nor Pa had seemed surprised when Jessie told them about the box. Did adults everywhere have so many secrets, or was it just in Clifton? Except when she was a baby, Jessie had never been any farther away from Clifton than a few miles up the hill to pick blackberries. So she had no way of knowing. Only the adults in Clifton seemed to be acting more and more strangely lately. They'd confer in whispers, then pretend nothing was going on. Pa had told Jessie that everyone was worried about the Depression, which started back in 1837 and didn't seem to have an end in sight. Jessie could understand people being worried about that. Pa said even the state had gone bankrupt. But she still suspected the adults were whispering about something else. What could it be? Sometimes Jessie wanted to be an adult right away, so she could learn all the secrets. And sometimes...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?